Fred Film Radio, International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Documentary Film Festival in Amsterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Simon Wilmont, who is presenting his documentary, The Distant Barking of Dogs. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Would you be able to introduce your documentary for us and tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, the documentary The Distant Barking of Dogs is a film about the 10-year-old Oleg, who's a boy that lives in the eastern part of Ukraine, very close to the front line, in a small village with his grandma. And we follow his life in the shadow of war for around 1.5 years.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the war?
Just to sketch it really, really loosely, is that around 2014 there was a movement to go further towards the EU and some parts in Ukraine. I'm not so versed in the politics, but they wanted a closer relationship with Russia. And after the big Maidan incident, where the president was put off, fighting erupted in the eastern part of Ukraine. And after intense fighting for a couple of months, maybe roughly a year, it all consolidated into a front line of around, I think it's around 400 kilometers or something like that. But in the two regions of in the region of Donbass, in the eastern parts of Ukraine.
So the fighting is particularly intense in the place where you shot your film.
Yeah, well, now it's kind of like it's developed into a trench war, almost the First World War style, where the parties have dug trenches a couple of hundred meters from each other, and then they loop grenades at each other at various intervals and try to gain ground in that way. Yeah. And the family lives around 500 to 300 meters from the trenches in a small town. And the thing is that when they start looping grenades, they usually don't do it from the trenches because it's very easy to spot fire and fire back again. So they usually, the soldiers on both sides, go out each other's way behind their own lines and then fire. So it doesn't take a mathematician, but if they go behind, you know, the city, then that's where the shells also drop. And if they fall too short, well, then that's the city, yeah.
As a result, throughout the movie, you hear the sounds of the war, which I suppose is suggested in the title.
Yeah.
Now, as a filmmaker, why were you interested in going there and filming the situation?
It's actually because I made two films about boys roughly the same age, but these two other films were of boys with very, you know, safe worlds, and so to speak. And the idea of these two films was that the boys in various ways got their safe world, you know, pulled out of its normal peace and quiet. And then they had to find their way back again to that safety. And it made me wonder that I knew that there's so many places on the planet where children the same age are living in a constant dangerous world. So what would be the opposite? You know, how does a child who lives in a very dangerous environment actually find some kind of peace?
Yes. So we should specify that the film is very much focused on children, in particular the leading protagonist of the film. What's his name?
His name is Oleg.
How did you meet him?
I traveled up and down the front line talking to a lot of kids and trying to find out if I could find a protagonist. And at some point, I met Oleg, and usually I'd ask them all of the children three questions. And the last of them would always be like, how do you feel in your body when you're afraid? And in the very end of the research tour, I kind of almost bumped into Oleg, and I asked him, and he looked at me, and no, none of the other children had actually seemed to be able to answer this question in a drawing way in any way. But he just looked at me without hesitation, just said, yeah, it's like when the first bomb starts falling, then there's a cold hand that reaches into my chest, and as the fighting continues, it just squeezes and squeezes and squeezes my heart, so it gets colder and colder and colder and smaller and smaller and smaller. And I was kind of like, okay.
Not only is that poetic, but it's also very honest of his emotions.
It is, and I also found it, you know, immensely, you know, reflected in a way. I was so good at putting words to his feelings, and really surprised me, actually.
So, and also, of course, the film then becomes this thing of how the war affects his life, and in some cases he appears to kind of like the some of the aspects of war, like the guns and all of these things that are sometimes even, you know, we find that in popular media and on our side of the world all the time. But then also in other instances we see the completely different reaction that it has on him, to the point where, like at the start of the film, we're introduced to him going to the cemetery and praying for his dead mother.
Absolutely. I think it's something to do with that at his age you may have some kind of inkling that, okay, the world I'm living in is dangerous, and it's, you know, something bad can happen at some point. But I also think at his age it's very characteristic that you don't linger on such thoughts, because there's so much going to capture your imagination, and it is an exciting place to be, because you're almost out of, when you pass kind of like the third checkpoint, it's a weird feeling, because you know, like, that everything seems normal, but you know there's no law out here,
right?
And it does have some kind of freedom to it also, and obviously also it can be exciting with all the guns and the soldiers. And
And then there's a relationship he has with his grandmother, which was like, there's a lot of love in this movie. Despite the war aspect, there's also a lot of war love. She doesn't want to leave her home, so.
They've lived there for a lot of generations. And as she says in the beginning, we could leave, but we would leave with nothing. And I don't think she actually minds leaving with nothing. But there is a certain, you know, to what end? We might go to the other parts of the country and live there. But we would have nothing, and we don't even have the home that we've been living in for a certain amount of generations. So when does the risk of being killed, you know, I can't say that in English, but does that overtrump, you know, the going away to safety in a place you don't know and you don't feel comfortable maybe at?
Obviously, you enter these people's homes, and you've shot them for how long?
For roughly 1.5 years, yeah.
How do you establish a level of trust with them?
When we first met them, I was just told this recently, they were actually afraid that we were kind of, you know, there's rumors that there's foreigners coming to these towns to kidnap children and sell their organs and stuff like that. They actually thought that we were one of those.
That's the show, in a way.
and in a weird way, I think one of the first... you can't really feel it on them. They felt very hospitable, and they are very hospitable. And I think what the breaking point was that she saw that I went with Oleg to school, and some of the other kids or teachers something posted a picture of me and my fixer eating, you know, the canteen food at the school. And she told me that just broke her heart, and she's going, no way he's going to be one of those. And I can't have him eat that shit food. So from now on, I'm just going to cook him dinner. And when she did that, you could always, you know, conversation starts flowing and the kid is happy. And it also, obviously, we would bring something into her life and his life, you know, some sense of a gust of wind from the world beyond their little world, you know. Yeah. So yeah,
you'd pitched this film here at ITFA last year.
I think it was last year.
So so there's a bit of a history there with ITFA.
There is a history, absolutely. The two previous films I made, the short films, was also premiered here at ITFA. And I liked the venue.
Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called Distant Barking of Dogs, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.